Welcome back to another chapter of To Honesty and Comeuppance, an Attack on Titan fanfiction written by yours truly, Tolstoy Ackerman. You can find this fanfiction by clicking on the link in my profile, which will take you to all of my works hosted on AO3, or by going to AO3 and searching for the title of this fic, or my pen name, Tolstoy Ackerman, two words. Standard disclaimer, I do not own Attack on Titan, I only own the original characters here within, and this is entirely non-for-profit. Thanks for coming back for another chapter. Without further ado, let's get into Chapter 29. Chapter 29, Foxes. They all fired, but Himmel had already crouched low on her haunches, coiling herself tighter than the spring powering the hands of time, and before the revolver cylinders could rotate and chamber the next bullets, she spread a palm on the gritty flagstones to spin with a foot out and sent all six men hurtling to the ground. Stunned by her speed, dazed by the tumble, some struggled to get to their feet, while others aimed at her from the ground. Himmel seized a man's wrist and ripped on it so hard she could feel and hear his arm being torn out of its socket. She took his gun and, without the luxury of hesitance, unloaded the remaining five bullets into five hearts. The blonde woman was snarling in rage as she rushed to pick herself back up, and Himmel stomped down on her solar plexus to knock her out. Now the two Survey Corps men were staring at her in horror, and she could hear the thoughts behind their eyes louder than the ringing gunshots. How did she move so fast? What is she? Himmel chucked the pistol in her hand at one of them and struck him in the temple hard enough that he passed out. The other she ran over to and kneed so fiercely his line would end with him. The door was opening. The guards had heard the guns. There was no time to search for keys on the men. "Keep your eyes shut and back against the wall," Himmel said to Historia as she gripped one of the thick iron bars in her fists. Historia whimpered, her entire face scrunched as petrified tears ran down her face. Himmel began to pull. Her muscles burned, and she twisted her feet, seeking traction, but the bar wouldn't budge. She hoisted herself up so she had a foot on the bars on either side of the one she was fixated on, and her growl turned into a scream as she willed her body to forget. Forget the ache, forget the burn, forget the instincts that told her body it was not meant to do this. Muscles were tearing in her back and down her arms and legs, bones were cracking within flesh as she forced them to do things they normally could not do. The remaining stitches in her neck all ripped as she threw her head back and yanked, and with a terrible grinding of metal and stone, she fell back with the iron bar gripped in her fist. Himmel grabbed one of the pistols on the ground and fired off two shots at the stairway, forcing the guards to halt before they could reach the bottom. Then she ripped open her blouse, pulled down her undershirt, and fired a third bullet straight into her heart. The fire lanced through her with the lead and spread outwards, scorching away every last shredded muscle and fractured bone, cauterizing the cuts on her neck, and filling her with all the energy she would need for what was next. "Come on," Himmel said, pocketing another pistol as she leapt to her feet. "Get on my back, and don't look at anything." The girl clambered onto Himmel, hidden under the long, long braids, except for her arms that were wrapped tightly around Himmel's neck, and with the 3-meter bar in hand, she charged up the steps. The two guards were so stunned to see her wielding one of the cell bars that they froze, and she batted them to the side with it so she could dart past them, up the stairs and out of the barracks. Men were shouting at her to stop, and to order others to chase after her. The guards at the gate were taking their rifles in hand, and Himmel couldn't afford to get shot now that she'd already brought herself back once. "All right, Historia. I'm okay. You're okay. We're gonna jump, so wrap your legs around me and hold on tight." Okay. Himmel aimed and threw the iron bar like a lance. It hissed through the air and sank 2 meters high into the stone walls that surrounded the barracks. She sucked in a long, deep breath as she charged after it, and then she leapt into the air, wrapped her hands around it, and once again strangled the part of her brain that would stop her from doing what she needed to do. She heaved herself up, crouched on the bar, and then leapt off it and over the wall into Caraness. The cobblestones were unforgiving and her ankles buckled, but she bit down on the shoots of pain up her leg, forced herself to her feet, and began sprinting into the shadows as a soldier screamed and a bell began to ring. They had horses. She had to go quickly. "I don't understand what's happening," Historia sobbed. "I don't either," Himmel said, "but I'm gonna protect you. Just keep your eyes closed for me." "Why?" "Because I can't keep you safe if you're implicated," she thought. "I lost my bandana," she lied. She veered around a corner and onto a smaller side street. The unpolished, worn iron of the manhole cover was as beautiful as the new moon to her, and she hastily lifted it up, grabbed the slimy rungs within the tunnel, and sealed it shut over them once more. Panting, breathing further inhibited by Historia's grip, she hurried deeper down into the space between upside and downside, and Historia coughed as the smells of the Undercity hit her for the first time. "I'm taking you to a friend's," Himmel told her. "No one will ever think to look for you there, and he can keep you safe even if someone finds you." "Why can't you take me straight to Stohess where everyone is?" "I'm worried they may send people, and I don't want you there just in case. I'm going to run there and alert Erevin, and then I'll come back for you and take you somewhere better. I swear to you, I'm not letting anything happen to you." The pipe curved and became horizontal. Himmel crouched down and shuffled through the muck and filth that splashed onto her boots and hair, paying it no mind. The sewer leaked the upsider's waste out into a crude ditch on the side of an alley in Undercity Caraness that she recognized. Himmel hopped out onto the roughly hewn cave floor and sprinted northwest, blowing by the occasional citizen without a second glance. No one seemed to realize that it was her, probably thanks to the change in her hair and lack of swords, and for the first time ever, she was grateful to have neither of the possessions she cherished most. She didn't slow until she was on the threshold of a particular inn. She threw the door open so hard it nearly flew off its hinges, and the innkeep, who had the face of a demon and smile of a bear, looked up from the conversation he was having with a patron. "Yorick, my brother," Himmel said between gasps. "Today's a day for family reunions." His dark, sunken-in eyes grew wide as he took in her big green irises and build. The average person wouldn't recognize her, but he certainly would. His mouth split open in a grin just like his brother Horace's. "Sister, what a treat. Come on in." He led her into the back room behind the bar, and the instant he closed it behind them, Himmel allowed herself to relax and shake with the jitters of adrenaline and consequences rolling like boulders down mountains. Historia let go of her neck and stepped out from under Himmel's massive blanket of hair, and then hugged her in gratitude. "What the fuck is all of this?" Yorick demanded. "Good to see you again, too," she said. "This is my friend Krista. She's gotten herself into trouble, and I need you to keep her for a little, probably just a few hours." "She's an upsider," he said, distaste clear. "Horace is an upsider now, too. Would you turn him away?" "I'd spit on him first." Normally, she would laugh at his jokes, but she had run out of humor. "I came to you because I trust you more than anyone else. Can you hide her here?" "Who are you hiding her from?" "The MPs. Possibly Interior." Yorick swore. "And how many saw you?" "No one saw the manhole I used. I told them my name was Mercy. They shouldn't think to look here. I did kill at least 5 of them, though. They'll be out for blood." Historia's breath caught in her throat, and Himmel gave her an apologetic look. It certainly hadn't been her wish to kill them, but she'd been left with very little choice, and unfortunately for them, they couldn't be brought back with a shot to the heart. "That was why you told me to close my eyes," she whispered. "You didn't see anything. I kidnapped you for my own nefarious gains. That's what you're going to say on the off chance that someone other than me comes for you and gets past Yorick. Got it?" Historia looked up at Yorick, who was a monolith of menace, and swallowed. "I don't want this man to risk his life for me." "I'm not risking it for you. I'm risking it for our sister Mercy here," Yorick told her. He said to Himmel, "Hurry up and get back here as soon as you can." Himmel squeezed Historia to her for a moment, and then leapt up to hug Yorick, who grunted in distaste. He wasn't near as friendly as Horace, but his heart was just as good. "I'll be back," she promised, and then she ran westward, out of Undercity Caraness, and through the long, dim streets between it and Undercity Stohess. Along the way, she bundled up her long braids into a ponytail, and tried not to worry whether she'd fucked up everyone's lives again. The MPs were after Eden and Historia. Himmel had prevented them from getting Historia, and hopefully she would make it to Stohess before they roused and could get someone there to kidnap Eden. These were definitely good deeds. The means she had used to achieve them, however. Himmel clawed her way up another sewer an hour later in Stohess, and snuck into the barracks by vaulting over the perimeter wall and slithering into the building. It was past 1 in the morning, and she didn't meet anyone until she pounded on Eden's door and he opened it blearily. She grabbed his arm and started jogging, but he yanked back. "Himmel, what the hell? I don't have time. I need you to come with me to Ervin's room right now. I'll explain everything there." There was deep mistrust in his eyes. He still hadn't forgotten the last time she'd grabbed him and carried him away from his friends. "Eden, if I was up to something shady, I'd knock you out first," she said. "Historia's in trouble. please. At this, he was able to shove his doubts down for the time being, and he stopped straining against her. He matched her dash down the halls and up the stairs to the topmost floor. After only one knock, she let herself in to see Ervin and Levi paused mid-conversation, gaping at her filthy appearance. "You had orders not to go down to the Undercity," Levi growled. "I didn't set out with it in mind. Now, I'd like for you not to be angry about what I'm going to say next." "Levi, get her some water. Your throat's better. What happened?" Ervin was as sharp as ever, even this late at night. Himmel recounted the events in detail, leaving out only the part where she'd brought herself back, since Eden was with them. Levi and Eden grew increasingly distressed while Ervin listened intently, his true feelings hidden behind curtains of bright blue. "Mel, do you have any idea how fucking stupid? They're MPs. We just got you out of the noose today, and you're already climbing the gallows. They won't stop hunting you until you're dead." "What the fuck else was I supposed to do? She gave them the order to kill me. I had no weapons. About 2 seconds to react. What would you have done then, humanity's strongest soldier, who's apparently incapable of making mistakes?" Levi rose to his feet, clearly of the mind to cross the room and spare her the trip to the gallows. He snarled, "You could have shot them in the legs, or the arms, or just about anywhere other than their fucking hearts, you psychopath. You keep covering your hands in blood to protect the ones you care about, but that only makes them slip through your fingers easier. Is that what you really want?" She had known he wouldn't be congratulating her for what she'd done, but she hadn't expected his reaction to wound her this much. Too stunned and hurt to be rational, she said icily, "I have Historia and Eden here right now, don't I?" "Enough," Ervin said. The single word shot between them like a cannonball through fog, parting it and creating a gulf between Levi and her, who were still enveloped in the haze. Himmel looked away from Levi and to Ervin, and Levi sat back down and pretended that she no longer existed. "Killing them wasn't in our best interests, but it was the heat of the moment, and your life was threatened. You concealing Historia was a good idea as well, and so was keeping Eden with you. The question is, what do we do now?" Once again, they found themselves up against an enemy they didn't know the slightest thing about. They wanted Eden and Historia, but the reason was unknown. And who was in control of the interior MPs anyways? The only silver lining to this was that Ervin had sent her to bring Historia back at the perfect moment. Had she been sent any later, Historia would have been lost to them. "There's an old house owned by a friend of mine," Ervin said. "It's not that far from Utgard. They could lay low there." "It's flat terrain out there," Levi said. They were quiet for a while, and Himmel stood there, allowing them to think. She knew it was childish, but she found herself so upset with the way Levi had reacted that she didn't want to help. It seemed that any decision she made only served to make him hate her, and she was sick of it. Let them make the next decision. Let them put their heads in the noose this time. "Himmel," Eden said beside her, "didn't you say you have safe houses?" The moment that Levi and Ervin looked at her, she wished she had never let these men into her heart. "Where else do you have other than Mitras and Stohess?" Levi demanded. She bristled. "I'm not going to just list them. I've already ruined two of my best ones for the Survey Corps. Are you trying to sabotage me?" "You do a good enough job of that all on your own," Levi said. He stood up, went to the desk, and procured a large map of humanity that he spread out on the table over Ervin's lap. "Start pointing." "Go fuck yourself," Himmel said. "Commander Ervin, give me the criteria you want, and if I have somewhere that suits our needs, I'll provide the location." Himmel couldn't remember a time she'd been so furious with Levi. She could hardly listen to Ervin. The buzz of anger was so loud in her head. Why did he think she would just immediately hand over 25 years of hard work to the Survey Corps? She had offered her heart, yes. She hadn't offered her fucking career or the heart of the Undercity, and she had no intention of doing so. And had he forgotten who she was? She left no witnesses. She made examples. She'd slaughtered thousands, and she'd slaughter thousands more to keep her and hers safe. Titans, humans, fucking horses for all she cared. She'd cut down anything that was a threat. He'd known it for years, and it was why he'd left her. Had their decade apart softened his memories of her? Had he convinced himself that she wasn't as savage as he remembered? And now that they were together again, was he realizing just how cruel and seductive a mistress absence was? Ervin said, "We'll need it to house a dozen men, stables enough for a few horses and a wagon. It should be remote enough that Eden's transformations won't be seen, somewhere in mountains or forest. Hanji has plans for testing and studying him to work on the hardening ability. Himmel crossed her arms and reluctantly said, I have one place that would work, but I haven't been able to check on it since I joined the cadet corps because of how far it is. I need to go make sure there's no cave-ins or squatters. What are you going to do if they're squatters? Levi asked. I guess I'll shoot them in the fucking legs or something to appease you. It was a completely unnecessary barb, but she was too pissed to care. The MPs will be searching for you, Ervin said. Can you get there and back without being seen? Yeah, that won't be a problem. If I leave now, I can be back in 2 days. We'll have provisions ready by then, Ervin said. If the tunnel is still passable, I'll need farmer's wagons, not the big ones like what military or merchants use. The tunnel is only 3 meters wide, and just tall enough for a horse. And if we can't use the tunnel? We'll have a higher risk of being seen, and people will know someone's taken up residence there again. Let's hope that's not the case. Go now. Levi, bring Historia here. Himmel didn't bother to salute. She swirled around and stomped out of the building, slipped into the Undercity, and headed west. Miraculously, the tunnel and house were still usable, and the only squatters she'd encountered were thousands upon thousands of spiders in the tunnel. The house and its outbuildings were in disrepair, but there was nothing so terribly damaged that they couldn't be lived in. The dirt road that had once led to the homestead had been obscured by several years' worth of grass, and she was fairly certain that its existence had been forgotten. Himmel doubled back to Stohess and snuck herself into the barracks, so covered in dirt that it was hard to tell her hair was blonde. She'd cut it off at the neck, but kept the braids to help keep her anonymity and to give the spiders less places to hitchhike. She pointed out the location for Ervin, Levi, and Hanji on the map, explained the way to access it without being seen, and made a few additional requests for repair materials for some of the buildings, which Hanji and Levi would bring a few days later when they joined them. Ervin looked up from the map to her. Thank you for letting us use this safe house. Protecting Historia and Eden are paramount to humanity's survival. As of right now, you are wanted by the MPs for questioning. The blonde MP you didn't kill has vanished. It's likely that she and the others were interior. Of the 4 Survey Corps guards you knocked out, 2 gave a statement claiming that you went berserk and kidnapped Historia. Himmel felt like every muscle in her body had been tensed ever since she'd entered that cursed dungeon. Her jaws ached from how long she'd been clenching them. Ervin continued, I have reported that I believe you kidnapped Historia, and after the Special Operations Team vanishes tonight, I will have men claim to have witnessed you kidnapping them as well. Her mouth dropped open in disbelief. I'm not just some criminal you can use as your scapegoat whenever it's convenient. They'll draw and quarter me. Any life I hope to have upside will be ruined if this fails. Any life I hope to have with Levi will be ruined if this fails. What would you have my story be then? Ervin said. She went to speak, but then clapped her mouth shut. Ervin needed plausible deniability. If he were arrested, the Survey Corps would be headless and they would lose what very little visibility and leverage they had in this terrible situation. The best way for him to appear innocent was to turn Himmel into the enemy and distance himself, and it would be very easy to do after her actions with Reiner and Bertolt. Any number of excuses could be made to explain why she'd kidnapped Historia, Eden, and the others of the 104th. Perhaps she was actually an ally of Reiner and Bertolt and was planning to bring them Eden and Historia. Perhaps she knew there were more shifters among the 104th and had taken them for her own purposes. Himmel couldn't remember the last time she'd found herself squeezed in someone else's palm like putty. She had never felt so trapped, and she wanted to scream and thrash. Was this how she had made Levi feel when she tricked him into thinking the worst and coming to the battlefield? Maybe she did deserve this. I understand why you chose this story. My only request. No. Demand is that you do not reveal that I'm the Sabakia. Even if the interior MPs know, and even if we somehow come out of this on top, it won't be good for you or me if they learn you headhunted me. Agreed. Ervin extended his left hand, and Himmel shook it. I'll be handling everything on the bureaucratic end. I'm entrusting all ground operations to Levi and you. Not Hanji? Himmel said in surprise. Levi was scowling, arms crossed, but she could tell this wasn't new information to him. No doubt he and Ervin had argued about it while Himmel had been away. Whether he was pissed to be in charge of something so risky and volatile, or whether he was pissed to have to work with Himmel, who was risky and volatile, was unclear. I'm used to military strategy, and that's not how the interior works, Hanji said. Himmel gave an unamused snort. Well, glad to be doing something that's up my alley for a change. I'll be along in a week, Levi said to her. That place better be presentable by then. That's probably how long it'll take. Come sooner if you run into trouble. She gave them a salute and snuck to Horace's, where she waited for the rest of the team. Horace was kind enough to give her a damp cloth so she could wipe her face, and she got to savor a mug of hot wassail in the meantime. It was the first thing she'd had to eat since two nights before, when she'd been here with the team for dinner. "I'm gonna be out of touch for a while longer," she told him, "but hopefully I'll have found a farrier by the time I'm back." He rapped his knuckles twice on the table and left the side room. Himmel had almost asked him to stay and chat with her. She had had no one to keep her company but spiders for nearly two full days, and she hated spiders. On the other hand, her mind was churning with all manner of unpleasant, dark ruminations, and she didn't want to inflict her presence on anyone. She wrapped her fingers around the warm mug, breathed in the steam that smelled of apples, ethanol, and spice, and found herself thinking of easier times. Well, easier times probably wasn't the right word. They only seemed easier now because they were over. Even the days and nights she and Levi had spent taming the Undercity, memories she visited like old friends, weren't nearly as rosy as her mind's eye would have her believe. They'd come close to losing their lives so many times she couldn't begin to count, and they'd had just as many spats. But those weren't the things that she focused on when she remembered. She recalled the way he ran his fingers through her hair when they curled up to sleep, and the way she'd do some ridiculous acrobatic move to get out of a pinch, and he'd gape at her in wonder until he remembered that he was supposed to hate how flashy she could be. She recalled him peeling pears for her, how he'd come so close to smiling when she gave him fancy tea on his birthday, how he'd slipped up and laughed the first time they'd managed to soar from one roof to another without crashing in a tangle of ODM gear wires. It seemed like even if everything went to shit, they had always been able to find at least one good thing in the other. Somehow, they had forgotten how to do that. What was so different now compared to then? Had the situations changed, or had they? When she saw Levi next, she'd talk to him. He had finally let her into his world after so much time apart, and she didn't want to ruin it. She had just finished her stewed apple when Horace knocked on the door and informed her that the team had arrived. Himmel picked herself up, handed her empty mug to Horace, and thanked him. "Hang on tight out there," he said to her. She gave a little two-fingered salute and headed outside, pulling a hood up to hide her blonde hair and cast her green eyes in shadow. Eren, Mikasa, Armin, Jean, Sasha, Connie, and Historia were all there with their own hoods drawn, in plain clothes and weaponless. Each of them had a rucksack thrown over their shoulders full of the provisions they'd need for the first few days. The bulk of it was food and clothes. "Here," Jean said. From his bag, he withdrew one of her swords in its original sheath, and she fastened it to her left hip, her nerves cooling the slightest bit to have a piece of her back. Having both of them was preferable, but they were too distinct. She'd wait to take the second one from Jean until they'd reached the safe house. "Thanks. All right, follow me. Don't talk amongst yourselves, and don't make eye contact with anyone. Let me handle everything." Horace had readied a horse apiece for them, tied up outside the inn. They mounted them and began the long journey all the way to Yarkel, Stohess's sister city, nearly 500 kilometers to the west, at a light trot. They rode through the night, stopping every once in a while to let the horses have a break, and just before dawn the next day, they finally reached Yarkel. Everyone was sore from riding for so long, but this had been the most pleasant leg by far. There was the matter of getting past the Yarkel gates to enter Wall Rose. They passed through in twos and threes so as not to stand out, and Himmel took them into the little village the Satin Wall rose within walking distance of the Yarkel gates. Then she hustled them into a crumbling barn on the very edge of the village, where there was a tunnel hidden under the flagstones. This one was much larger than the one she'd dug to Mitras and Stohess, and the slab of stone covering it was so massive that no one in their right mind would think of lifting it. Of course, it was much thinner than the average flagstone, so that Himmel could lift it, but she and Levi were probably the only two capable of doing it single-handedly. With a groan, she heaved it up onto the rudimentary hinge, and the earth revealed its maw to them. Several spiders scurried out, and Sasha jumped back and grabbed Mikasa, who told her to calm down. "We're using this?" Connie asked in despair. "How long is it?" Armin said. They let the horses drink and feed from troughs she'd prepared during her last trip, while they had a quick meal of bread and water of their own. "It's long," she said. We'll be able to ride the horses, but it'll be at a walk. I hope none of you are arachnophobes or claustrophobes. How long? Eden said. With the horses, about as long as it took us to get here. It's around 4 a.m. now, so we'll probably get there around midnight tonight. And how many times do we come up for a breather? Jean said. Himmel gave him a long look. We don't. Everyone grew alarmed at this. Warm, damp air was easing out of the tunnel like dragon's breath, and it was easy to believe that there was something down there in the depths waiting for them. Even she had felt a little instinctual shiver of fear when she'd entered it a couple days ago. I know, she said. But listen, I walked the whole thing by myself just before I came back to get you guys. I got rid of most of the spiderwebs. There are no cave-ins or any weak places. It's going to be a long trip, but we've got torches in our saddlebags, and we have each other. Let's finish eating and go. It's not wise to hang around here for long. If they were reluctant before, they were all but petrified now. As used to navigating tunnels and pipes and dark, unpleasant places as she was, even Himmel didn't enjoy the prospect of the next day. Still, this safe house was nearly guaranteed to go undiscovered, and if someone did happen to find this tunnel, the likelihood of them following it the full 120 kilometers was slim. A few of them nibbled on their bread so slowly that she had half a mind to swipe it out of their hands, but she didn't have it in her to be mean. The past week had been absolute hell, and they were all tired and overwrought. Eventually, though, they all steeled themselves. Himmel gave her horse to Eden and had three of them light torches. Then, one by one, they walked the horses down the gentle slope and into the tunnel. She heaved up the massive stone and gently, slowly, lowered it down until they were entombed with the spiders. There was something about being surrounded on all sides by earth that made a person scared to talk above a whisper. All sounds were flat and muffled, as though the walls sought to leach out all unfamiliar things from the air and return them to their base elements. Himmel scooted herself against the wall to sidle by everyone and their horses and get to the front, where Eden had her horse and a torch. She had him continue to hold the reins so she could hold her torch in one hand and her sheathed sword in the other to bat away spiders before they could land on her, and she began the procession. "You guys want to hear a story?" she said. "Tell us how you came to have this ridiculous tunnel," Jean said. She gave a nervous laugh. "I did a favor for a man, and that man happened to own a mine, so I borrowed some of his equipment and bored my own private highway through the ground." "This one is a lot wider than the one to Mitras," Mikasa said. "The one to Mitras is for small payloads, and this one was more for transportation." "What would you need to transport all the way from Klorba?" "Klorba itself isn't all that special. It was the area around Quinta that was useful to me before Wall Maria fell. After that, I didn't have much of a need for this place, so I stopped using it. I fucking hate spiders. I've got to have a good incentive to be around them for 2 days round trip." "So what was the incentive?" Eden asked. "Ever since joining the Survey Corps, all of my little secrets keep getting peeled away one by one," she said, laughing, even though she found nothing about it humorous. "If you must know, Quinta used to process a lot of textiles, and it was a good place to get medical supplies." "Why would you haul bandages and medicine down this filthy tunnel?" Connie said. Someone elbowed or kicked him, and John said, "Because she was stealing them, you idiot." "Only when there was plague," she said. A fat, distressingly hairy spider slid down a gossamer rope before her, and Himmel smashed it against a wall with her sheath. It had been much too close to falling on her. "Next story or question, I don't care which," she said. "Can you tell us about Captain Levi?" Sasha asked. "Eden talks about him like he's a god or something." Himmel snorted. "And Historia makes it seem like he's a monster. He dragged me out of Yorix by my hair." "He what?" Himmel gasped. "I'll beat him senseless. Why'd he do that?" "He said we needed to act, or something. Made me pretend I was his wayward sister he was dragging home. I think he just wanted an excuse to be mean." "That sounded about right." "I pissed him off pretty bad, and it looks like he took it out on you. Sorry about that. I'll have a word with him when he joins us. And he's not a god or a monster. He's actually pretty humble and down-to-earth, and funny when he wants to be." "He did let you spin him around like a top," Eden said. "He did." "Tell us another story about him, like the one he told me," Eden said. "All right. Criteria?" Eden paused for a moment and then said, "A story you can't tell when he's around." She wanted to look back and see what he was angling at, but she was too concerned about spiders. "Eden, Are you trying to get me to tell you guys something that he would kill me for if he knew? Well, yeah, Historia said, rather vindictively. That's the story I want to hear. There were plenty of things that she could tell them about. They'd had more blunders and embarrassments and shameful things happen to them than the average person. It was the nature of the Undercity to get dirty in unexpected ways. However, Levi was prepared to skin her as it was, and as much as she thought of these kids as siblings, they were her and Levi's subordinates now. She needed to think of something that wouldn't tarnish their image of him as a leader, or make them think he was a bad person. As she carted through all of their memories together, she kept batting the spiders away and walking down the tunnel with the torchlight showing her a meter's worth of the future. Okay, she said when she struck upon one. I'll tell you, but you have to swear on your lives that you will never let him find out, because out of all the stories I could tell you, this is the one that will make him angriest. Even without looking behind her, she could feel their excitement heating up the cool air. Levi would kill her if he found out, but it was too good of a story not to share. This story involves missing prostitutes, a talented dancer, destruction of property, and running naked through the streets of Stohess, Himmel began. And that's the end of the chapter. I know I've been teasing it for several chapters now, but we are 100% into Season 3 territory. Season 3 Part 1 territory. So, I changed the intro and outro music to reflect that we're in a new season, and I hope that you like it. I felt that this arc has a lot of action and fight scenes in it, so I wanted something that was kind of punchy and had a bit of zest to it like that, so I went with that song. All of the music that I choose is from Pixabay, and they've got royalty-free music. It's a really great website with a lot of great tools, so yeah, I recommend it if you're into doing this sort of thing yourself and you're looking for some free background music that you can use without repercussion. Anyways, if you liked what you listened to, feel free to hop onto AO3 and leave me a comment letting me know, because I always love hearing from you. And thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.